The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on an apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what he was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. I am utterly exhausted today. You know how many nights this past week I was home? None. Not one evening was I at home. Sunday, corn maze. Monday, I was coaching a congregation as part of a synod initiative. Tuesday, Bible study. Wednesday, church and choir practice. Thursday, wedding rehearsal. Friday, I was in Hickory, North Carolina, running an alumni board meeting and then hosting an event. Saturday, had the wedding, and now it's today. And that's just the nighttime stuff. That's not even all the stuff that I had to do during the day. You know, I had to prepare all of the things that I just talked about. I had to work on this sermon. I had to work on the classes that I teach. I had to make visits. Thank you all for staying out of the hospital this week. Much appreciated. But it was just one thing right after another, after another, after another, you know? And now I am exhausted. But I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, "Wow, Pastor Stephen really does work more than one day a week. He works really hard. Thank you. I appreciate that." Then some of you are thinking, "Yeah, but you didn't do this, this, or this." Look, I'm sorry I had to be in Hickory. I would have rather rubbed butts and scrubbed chickens. And then the rest of you are thinking, "Yeah, of course that's what you did this week. That's your job, and that's what you get paid to do." You know? And for those folks, I just want to say to you, you're exactly right. That is my job. That is what I'm paid to do. I mean, it's not like I came in here this morning going, "Hey, everybody, look at me. I showed up on time." Of course, you're supposed to show up on time. That's what people do. You know, and when you have a job to do, when you have responsibilities, when this is why God called me to this place, there are certain responsibilities and certain things that are supposed to be done by the person in this position. That's just the way it is. All of you have had jobs. You know how it is. Nobody's giving you a hand for showing up to work every day. Sorry, millennials. I apologize. As a Gen Xer, I will say this. But I do know that y'all are beaten up a lot for the whole trophy generation thing. You know what I'm talking about, right? All those kids that got, you know, participation trophies along the way. And now I actually had a friend of mine who said that he had an employee that came to his office after 6 weeks and said, "Why haven't I gotten my raise? I showed up to work on time almost every day, and I still haven't gotten a raise." Now, so if this doesn't apply to you, I'm sure you have a friend that it does apply to. But I don't even blame y'all, millennials, because here's the truth. You didn't buy your own trophies. Somebody gave them to you, right? Well, it's not even my fault. I'm too young. It's your parents' fault for that. And so we have this whole generation of folks that expect to be rewarded for every little thing. But guess what? It's not just a generation when it comes to our faith. I think most Christians everywhere expect some sort of reward for doing something that disciples are supposed to do. You know? Well, I go to church every Sunday, or I read my Bible every day, I pray, you know, I volunteer, I do this, I do that. So I expect a nice place in heaven, or, you know, I want somebody to pat me on the back, or I give my money to the church all the time. Wonderful. And we sit there and we expect our thanks to come in. In fact, there's a whole branch of Christianity called the prosperity gospel. Folks like Joel Osteen have raked in millions of dollars doing this, because it's the promise that if you do this, if you are faithful in these areas, then God will be faithful to you. And that because you've done these things, you will be rewarded richly, not just in heaven, but you will be rewarded on earth. If you give just $1,000, you can watch how that mustard seed will grow. Just give it here. You can do that, by the way. We're not going to turn it down. But here's the thing. In today's gospel reading, we see something quite the opposite from the prosperity gospel. It starts off with five verses that we actually didn't read. Our passage starts in verse 5, so I want you to hear the first four verses of 17. Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone for whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive." And do you know how the disciples responded to that? The next verse, the next things out of their mouth is, "Increase our faith. We can't do that. If somebody sins against us seven times a day and says, 'I'm sorry,' we got to forgive them all seven times? Well, there's no way we can do that. That's too hard, Jesus. You need to increase our faith. You need to make us believe more so that we can make these things possible." And then Jesus said exactly what Deacon Deborah was talking about. Said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to that mulberry tree, "Uproot yourself and be planted in the sea," and it would obey you. That much faith can move trees. So what Jesus is saying to him is, you've got enough faith. You don't need more. Faith is something you have or you don't have. It's not something necessarily that you need more of. You've got all the faith you need. And then he goes on to say something that's kind of strange for us. He says, I'm going to read this directly so I get it exactly right. "Who among you would say to your slave who had just come in from plowing and tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather have said, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink, and then later you may eat and drink?' Do you thank your slave for doing what he was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you are ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what ought to have been done.'" Now this is strange for us for two reasons. First of all, we need to remember that this was written 2,000 years ago in a different culture, in which slavery was just commonplace. And so Jesus, when he talks about how people treat slaves, he's not condoning slavery or condoning mistreatment of slavery. He is just stating the fact of what it is, because he's asking rhetorical questions, questions that he already knows the answer to. And in Greek, there's a nice little two-letter word that lets you know that Jesus already knows the answer. Who among you would, when their slave came in from working, would tell them to have a seat, you know, kick back and rest for a while and have a meal? Implied answer, none of you would do that. You would tell them to sit down and feed you. And would you thank them? No, you wouldn't thank a slave. And so that sounds bad, especially to us Southerners that, you know, we know all about, because, I mean, Mama would not be happy if we didn't thank her for feeding us. You know, we thank our waiters and waitresses. I've even thanked a police officer for giving me a ticket one time. You know? I mean, we say thank you. And Jesus here is stating fact. That's not something people did. Now, again, just remember, this was a long time ago, and Jesus isn't saying that's not how we should act. But what Jesus is saying is this. No, a slave does the job that a slave does. No thanks is required. They're just doing what they're supposed to do. Therefore, as disciples, stop waiting for your trophy. You're just supposed to do what you're supposed to do. Period. That's what disciples do. You're supposed to forgive. You're supposed to go to church. You're supposed to give money. You're supposed to volunteer. You're supposed to share your gifts to show God's love. That's what Christians do. It's no need to look for a thank you note. There's no need to think, well, nobody noticed that I was doing this. Doesn't matter. You're doing what you were created and called to do. At your baptism, you were given faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Faith that could move mountains. And because of that faith, you are able to do what you're supposed to do. Why aren't you doing it? That's what Jesus is saying here. Kind of stings, doesn't it? To think, well, we're worthless slaves. I've done what ought to be done. Where's our gift? Where's our reward? I mean, we should get something for coming to church and reading the Bible and praying, right? Well, you see, my friends, the gift that we've been given came beforehand. You see, you and I have been given the promise of life and life eternal. Because Jesus Christ came to this world, because he died on the cross and gave his life so that we may have life, because he was raised from the dead, you and I have that gift. We are doing everything that we do in response to that gift. We have already received the reward. Because, see, God doesn't need to give us, you know, check marks or merit awards. He gives us this because of grace, love, and mercy, period. God's already showered upon us so much that we can't even begin to express how much we have gotten that we don't deserve. And therefore, in response, there's some things we probably ought to pick up and do. Don't you think? Don't you think that Jesus dying for you deserves some sort of response on your end? I do. And therefore, maybe, just maybe, we ought to start picking up and doing what we're supposed to do and stop making all kinds of excuses. Well, I've got this and I don't have any enough money to do that. Now, you know what? This past week, I saw an amazing thing happen. Last Sunday, for those of you who were here, I urged the congregation to find something to give, somebody to give $20 to. Some cause, some person, some need. And, you know, pretty much every Sunday I give y'all, you know, some sort of homework assignment. But this one, for some reason, really took off. You know, we have an opportunity that was sent out to us in an email. There's two families at Pleasant Hill Elementary that are struggling. So, you know, but I heard stories all week long from people who were, hey, I gave my $20 here, I gave my $20 here. Now tell me this, those of you who gave $20 away, wasn't it awesome? Didn't it actually feel good? See, here's the ironic piece of all of this. No, we don't deserve a reward for fulfilling our faith, but we get one anyway. Because when we live out our faith, when we do what we've been created and called to do, it feels amazing. I mean, that was just $20. That's all. And yet, I know that when I gave it, it made my whole day. I mean, so some of you may want to continue this. You can either do it every week or maybe once a month. You budget $20 aside for everybody in your family, including your children, so you can teach them how great it feels to give to. Because the reality is this, my friends. We have been created and called, just like we are, for a reason. And we need to fulfill that reason. We are disciples. There are some things that we need to do. And if you're new to the faith, they're right up there. We praise God. We show up to church. We increase our faith. We study God's Word. We read the Bible. We step up. We use our gifts in ministry to help other people out. We give generously. with our time, our talent, and yes, our treasures too. We accept everyone because that's what Christians do, and we help other people in need. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Those are our responsibilities. That's our job. And these are things that we ought to be doing just because we are baptized children of God. And when we do them, it changes lives. And the life that it changes first is yours. Faith the size of a mustard seed can do anything. About 6 months ago, I did a really dumb event where I put on a weighted backpack and then got with a bunch of former special ops guys who would torture me and everybody that I was with. And so we had to do all these calisthenics for an hour, and that would have been enough, but apparently they didn't think so. And so we started walking on this hike up Paris Mountain. Any of y'all ever been up Paris Mountain? It's right outside of, it's near Furman University. It is a 6 mile straight uphill hike. There's no breaks in it, just straight uphill. And so we have our weighted backpacks, but that's not enough. We had to have coupons on too. Coupons do not save you any money. Coupons are things like 40, 60, 80, 100 pound sandbags that you throw over your shoulders, or ammo cans filled with dirt, or these massive water jugs this tall that you carry around with you just for fun. On our way up, the cadre, those are the leaders, they spotted a fallen tree, an oak tree, there in the woods. They thought it would be fun for us to bring that tree with us. It wasn't. But do you know how we got it to move? Together. If faith the size of a mustard seed could pick up a mulberry bush and move it into the ocean, can you imagine what your mustard seed faith and your mustard seed faith and your mustard seed faith and my mustard seed faith and your mustard seed faith can do together? Can you imagine the impact that just this many mustard seeds could have on this world? If all of us shared our gifts to show God's love, if all of us stepped up and just did what we're supposed to do, can you imagine what this world would be like? Folks, this isn't just something that we talk about. This isn't just, well, you know, we go to church and, you know, whatever. It makes us feel kind of good. No. Our faith is life-changing and world-changing. And that change begins with you and me. That change begins by us doing what we are created and called to do, by doing what we're supposed to do as a response to a God who gives us everything, now in this life and forever. Do what you're supposed to do. Amen.